turn in your Bibles
tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verses 6 through 8. Not an unfamiliar passage to you at all, but one that has two simple reminders in it for us tonight. This I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask you tonight, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to allow us by the work of your Holy Spirit in us, to preach to the folks that are here tonight from the Scripture some very, very simple and plain truths that I pray you will be able to apply in our lives to your benefit and to our joy. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, the passage is obvious. You've heard it preached before. He says in verse 6, he which soweth sparingly shall reap. He does reap, but he reaps sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. It's the law of the soil. If you plant a garden, you put a little bit of seed in there, you get a little bit of produce. You put a lot more seed in there, you're going to get a lot more produce. It's just the law of the soil. That's the way it happens. Well, there are two things that you cannot go wrong sowing. You just can't go wrong sowing them. You ought to sow bountifully the Word of God. And you ought to sow bountifully money. God, in verse 8, gives us all sufficiency in all things, and in verse 8, is able to make all grace abound toward you. Do you understand that when you're sowing the seed of the Word of God, you know, that's not your word, that's His word. And He gives you all grace and He gives you all sufficiency to thoroughly sow the seed of the Word of God. Right now in that storage room, just outside the foyer there, there are boxes of New Testaments that we use to give to people on ships, at the college, in neighborhoods, and anywhere else that we meet people or know people that need the Word of God. On the other side, there in the foyer, is a tract rack, and there are a few tracts up there that are stamped, and in our storage over in the other building, there are literally thousands of tracts. And where those came from, there are tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands more tracts. All we have to do is put in an order and get some more. Do you understand? There's a lot of seed that God has provided sufficiency, he says, to sow bountifully. And the thing he says to us here is in verse 7, that when you sow bountifully, you do so cheerfully because God loveth a cheerful giver. So tonight I want to encourage you in two things just that come from this text. Sow the Word of God bountifully and sow your money bountifully. As I've told you before and you'll see tonight, the church is not in any financial duress where I have to put pressure on people to give so we can pay bills. That would be terrible. I would hate that. I've never had to do that in the ministry, but it would be terrible to have to use the pulpit to talk people out of money in order to pay for a project, a pet project, or to pay a light bill. God has always given us all sufficiency in all things, and don't have to do that. What I want to mention to you tonight from the Scripture is something that's not only good for God, but it's good for you. Now today, after we went to Delmar, we went to Nuevo Cafe to have lunch. Some of you may have gone there before. You might know the place. They have soup, they have sandwiches, and they have salads. You know, no biggie. They got strange artwork on the walls. Okay? But we went there, and one of the reasons I wanted to go there is that Kim really likes the poblano soup. And I knew that after lunch I could get a bowl of that and bring it back here to the office for her. And God loveth a cheerful giver, but in her case, God loveth a cheerful recipient. She really likes that soup. And we got there, and the waitress asked Joey first what he wanted, and asked if he wanted some poblano soup. He said, "I'll take a cup." Then she asked me, and I said, "I'll take a bowl." So as she's going around and coming around to the other side where Milton was, Milton looked at me and says, "So now tell me about this poblano soup." I said, "Get it." He said, "Yeah, but I want to know what's in it. I mean, what's it like?" And I said, "Get it." He said, "Look, I just want to know, you know, is it good? I want to know how it's made. I mean, is it green?" I said, "Milton, right here, look at this. Get it." So he got it. And before, you know, the waitress came back to bring us our order, he had licked the poblano soup off the bottom of the cup. I'm exaggerating a little bit. He liked it, okay? Now, I didn't have to go through a lot of explanation with him because I already knew. I already knew it was good, and I'd eaten it many times. So all I had to do was just say, "Get it." Because why? Once he tried it, then he would know all he needed to know about it. He would know what it looked like, and he would know how it tasted, and he would know whether he liked it, right? And I already knew he would like it. There was no question in my mind about that. And you say, "Well, why did you give us that silly little illustration?" Because I'm going to tell you something. If you will sow bountifully the Word of God, you're going to like it. And if you will sow your money bountifully, you're going to like it. End of the message. No, I... We like it. No, I'm just going to get really, because of all that we have to do now, I'll just get the point. If you don't have gospel tracts on you right now, when you leave here, go get you some. Just go get you some. You say, "Well, I don't know. What's it like trying to pass that out to somebody?" Go do it a while and you come back here and tell us what it's like, because you'll know. And like Milton eating that soup, you'll be licking the body. Nobody will have to say it again. You'll just go back there and you'll be getting tracts. Why? It is a joy. It is a joy to put that tract in the hand of somebody and they look at that and look at you and say, "Thank you for this." Some of them you say, "Oh, I know what that is. That's a chick tract. And I have this one and I have that one, but I don't have that one." It's a joy to be able to do that because you are sowing the seed of the Word of God. And when you sow the seed of the Word of God, Isaiah 55 tells you, it does not return void. God does something with it. If you don't have a marked New Testament that's printed from this church, I don't want to stampede, but when we're done here and we're kind of walking out the door, just say, "Randy, would you get me a one of those two real quick?" And he'll give you one, and then go home and look at it. Look how it's laid out. It's marked. You go to page 115, which is John 14:6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Down at the bottom of the page, it says turn to page 162. You go over there, there's another verse marked. There's 16 of them marked. There's 20 discipleship lessons in the front. It is a compact bullet. Gospel bullet. Really, it's loaded. Somebody can get that, they can find out how to be saved, and they can read 20 lessons on how to begin growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what that those things are there for? They're there to be sown. They are there to be given away. We don't sell them. And you know what will happen sometimes? We'll go to a restaurant and there'll be a waiter or a waitress there and you get to jiving with them. You know how you talk with them and that kind of stuff. And the next thing you know, you talk to them a little bit and they're like, "No, I don't know about the Lord. Here, I have a Bible. Would you like to take that home and read that so you can know more about the Lord?" And there's two things you know about that. Number one, if they're sincere, they can find how to get saved. And number two, if they're not sincere yet, I guarantee you, they might throw some things away that you give them, but they ain't throwing that Bible away. Most people are scared to death to do something like that. They'll put it somewhere, and one of these days, they will be in a place where they need to know something from God, and they will have that Word of God right there to turn to. Years ago, when I was in Beeville, we had an independent Baptist church that was a block and a half or so from our house. And the pastor's wife there went to a store downtown in Beeville and bought something. And when she did, she gave the proprietor a gospel tract. Probably that one that Brother Gipp was talking about, the gray and pink one about God's plan of salvation. Took that tract, and you know what he did? He did what most people do in a situation like that. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Mainly, I thank you for your money and your stuff. And he stuck it in his desk drawer. He just dropped it in the desk drawer, shut the drawer, and that was it. Well, he ran into serious financial trouble a couple of years later, two or three years later. And when he did, on a Saturday morning, I kid you not, I know this story because I witnessed to him and he told me the story himself. He went on a Saturday morning to his office at that store with the intention of taking his life. Because what he kept in that drawer was a pistol. He went into his office and he pulled that drawer out. He got the pistol, cocked it, put it in his mouth, and looked down. And when he did, he saw that tract. And he stopped, put the gun down, read that tract, and he got saved. And in witnessing to him, he gave me that testimony, and I know that testimony to be true. So, may I tell you something? Don't you want to be the person who gives somebody the tract that saves their life and saves their soul? You never know how God's going to do that stuff. But let me tell you something. If you keep it all to yourself and don't sow it, that won't happen. If you get it out there, at least you're giving God a chance to do something with somebody for their eternity. So sow the Word of God bountifully and sow it cheerfully. You don't have to be ashamed of it. Hey, would you like to have a tract? Glory to God. Okay, so that's sowing the seed of the Word of God. Sowing the Word of God bountifully. The other thing he says here in verse 7, he said, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful good giver. You ought to sow your money bountifully. And here's where I'm talking about. I don't know what you do in your giving to as the plates come by. I don't sit there and kind of like, You know, one church I went to, they made you parade down and the plate was here and the pastor would stand there like that and deacons were on either side of the plate. And if there was a check that hit that thing, they would grab that check and hand it to the pastor. If it's big enough, he'd say, well, so-and-so just gave. I mean, they would do that. Serious. I'm absolutely serious. We don't do that. That's all between you and God. But yeah, boy, that's pressure, isn't it? He said, every man as he purposeth in his heart. You know what? Listen. It's good soup. Get it. Missions, you're going to see tonight in the business meeting, is a very important part of, church, of what goes on in this church. It is an integral part of this church. The Lord said, witness in Jerusalem, witness in the uttermost parts of the earth. And the way to do that is to give to missions. Now, Here is what I'm going to tell you from personal encouragement, personal experience, and from what you've read in the Scripture. If you're not giving to missions, talking to you tonight, if you're not giving to missions, this is what I recommend to you. Don't stop giving what you're giving, but add something to what you're giving. And on a weekly basis or a monthly basis, whatever works best for you, get some money into missions. When you're here on Wednesday night and Randy presents you with an opportunity like tonight with Joe West, all of us in this room love to make large gifts to men in the ministry. You love it. You've done it. You've given them $10,000 at one time. You've given them $15,000 at one time. You've given them $2,500. You love to give it. Participate with the church in what you love to do. And do it cheerfully. Now, the reason to set aside and say, okay, I'm going to purpose in my heart to do this on a weekly or a monthly basis is this. All of us meet financial challenges in our lives. And when you've purposed in your heart that that's what you want to do, and you get in one of those tight months, if you have a purpose in your heart to do it and you hit that tight month, you know what you'll do? You'll say, I'll skip this month and I'll do it next month. And may I tell you, when next month comes, you'll have a reason to skip, and the one after that, and the one after that, and you'll quit giving to missions. I know that. But if you say, you know, that's something I want to do, I'm going to start giving whatever it is to missions on a regular basis. When you hit that tight month and you make that anyway, the Bible just says God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Do you understand when you're doing something like that for missions, God says, I want to make sure there's enough that He can keep doing what He's doing. He really does. He really does. And you know what's so cheerful about it is knowing what I'm doing for missions, I'm not doing. God's doing through me. That's the beauty of it. And God is doing something with it. Kenneth Elzey and his family came off the field in Bolivia, and like we decided a couple years ago, okay, we'll give them a couple years to get a church started. Mom, they've got a church started, and they're trying to start another one. They started one in Rogers, and they're trying to start another one in Decatur, and his wife is dying of cancer. I want to be part of that. That's why you said, let's keep it going. So you're going to see tonight in the business meeting of our annual meeting, you're going to see what the Lord has allowed this church to do in missions. And all I'm telling you is, hey, Milton, get it. Get some of that. It won't hurt you. And once you taste it, you're going to like it. Absolutely. And God, listen, the beauty of it is God is going to get to do something with it. Sowing bountifully for the sake of souls who hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot go wrong sowing bountifully in these two things. Impossible. The beauty is that you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. You find God's sufficiency in all that you do. And when you get home to heaven, you find a bountiful harvest. Because He said so. It's a wonderful thing. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank You tonight for the opportunity to be encouraged in a truth in the Scripture that is absolutely beneficial to Your work and beneficial to us too. God, I pray that You'll encourage our people. Not me, but You. And that Your Holy Spirit will work with all of us as it concerns missions and the Word of God. For we ask You to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.